Hello and welcome, wherever you are and whoever you are. We're continuing looking at the letter of James. Last week we looked at hearing and listening. This week the two words are respect and power. Respect and power. In the letter, James refers to the clothes that people wear, rich clothes and poor clothes. So perhaps I should add to my greeting and say, whatever you're wearing, your party best, your gardening clothes, your pajamas, you're welcome to join our service of worship. Today we are in creation time. It runs in September up until the 4th of October, and the Church of Scotland and other denominations use this time to particularly celebrate creation and also to reflect on our responsibility in caring for creation. Our call for worship, words from Psalm 96. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea and all within it thunder praise. The land and all it bears rejoice. The trees of the forest sing for joy. For the Lord comes, he comes to rule the earth. And we worship with our first hymn.
Let us pray. Mighty God, King of Kings, Lord of Hosts, how hard it is, indefinable and unnameable one, for us to know what to call you. We want a title that will show respect, without taking us out of the upside-down world of the kingdom that Jesus came to establish, and back to the oppressive hierarchy of this world, to which he was so utterly opposed. Have we fallen down a rabbit hole or stepped through the looking glass when we hear of children sitting in the seats of power, beggars and street urchins attending royal weddings, not as waiters or kitchen staff, but as honoured guests, while the king himself kneels down and washes their feet? Our brother, our companion, the servant king. No names or titles can capture it all. Not for nothing did you tell Moses, don't worry about my name, just am. So perhaps we should simply be quiet for a moment or two and let the crazy, wonderful mystery of your being fill and surround us. You value people for who they are, not how much they possess. You notice the invisible ones. You hear the silent ones. You see the potential in those who have long since written themselves off as worthless. You shower compassion on those who have been most harshly judged. And you judge the powerful and the privileged by how much compassion they show. Forgive us, gracious Lord, for our every failure, our failure to see or to listen or to care. Flood us with your mercy and your grace, and then perhaps we can start becoming what you have called us to be. Your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, and your heart in this world that you made and have never stopped loving. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from the Good News version of the Bible, from James chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. The passage is entitled Warning Against Prejudice. My brothers, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. Suppose a rich man wearing a gold ring and fine clothes comes to your meeting, and a poor man in ragged clothes also comes. If you show more respect to the well-dressed man and say to him, "Have this best seat here," but say to the poor man, "Stand over there," or "Sit here on the floor by my feet," then you're guilty of creating distinctions among yourselves and of making judgments based on evil motives. Listen, my dear brothers, God chose the poor people of this world to be rich in faith and to possess the kingdom which he promised to those who love him. But you dishonor the poor. Who are the ones who oppress you and drag you before the judges? The rich, they are the ones who speak evil of that good name which has been given to you. You will be doing the right thing if you obey the law of the kingdom, which is found in the scripture, love your neighbour as you love yourself. But if you treat people according to their outward appearance, you are guilty of sin, and the law condemns you as a lawbreaker. Whoever breaks one commandment is guilty of breaking them all. For the same one who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." Even if you do not commit adultery, you have become a lawbreaker if you commit murder. Speak and act as people who will be judged by the law that sets us free. For God will not show mercy when he judges the person who has not been merciful. But mercy triumphs over judgment. My brothers, what good is it for someone to say that he has faith if his actions do not prove it? Can that faith save him? Suppose there are brothers or sisters who need clothes and don't have enough to eat. What good is there in saying to them, "God bless you, keep warm and eat well," if you don't give them the necessities of life? So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it is dead.
The letter of James is likely to have been a round robin letter, sent to various different congregations. And since the greeting addresses the 12 tribes of the dispersion, These congregations were probably Jewish Christians, people brought up in the Jewish faith, who now accepted that Jesus was their promised Messiah. It deals with various issues in those congregations. These relate to how people are behaving. And so it's no surprise that James puts a lot of emphasis on what people are actually doing or failing to do. They claim to follow Jesus. Do their actions bear this out? Last week, we heard about hearing and listening, needing to be quick to listen and slow to speak. This week, we hear about favoritism, discrimination, favouring the rich over the poor, pandering to the rich, and shoving the poor out of the way into a corner. People showing by their behaviour that the rich were seen as more important, more valuable than the poor. Failing to see and respect everyone as a child of God. And respect is the first of the two words for this week. The congregations were failing to keep the law, love your neighbour as yourself. James calls this the royal law, the law that Jesus said was one of the two great commandments. And Jesus lived out this royal law. He particularly spent time with the poor, the marginalised, those whom society did not respect or value. Jesus showed them love and compassion. His followers must do likewise. James further points out that it's the rich who are causing problems for the believers, exploiting them and dragging them to court, which links with the second word this week, power. The voices of wealthy people were more likely to be heard. They had influence, knew the right people, and could afford to take legal action, possibly even bribing the judge to achieve their desired goal. So, do these issues still exist for us today? Are we likely to pay far more attention to a visitor who we know may make a sizable donation to the Restoration Fund than to someone else? A good few years ago, a friend of mine, an elderly, very wise Anglican priest, was preaching on today's reading in a church in a fairly affluent area. He'd arranged for one of the church members to disguise herself as what was then called a bag lady, someone who wandered the streets with her possessions in a couple of carrier bags. The idea was that as the punchline at the end of the sermon, the person would throw off the dirty coat and wig and reveal who she was. The congregation would then reflect on how they had regarded her in disguise, and then when they realised who she was. Well, as my friend was preaching in the pulpit, wondering where the person was, he noticed her running round outside the church, jumping up at the windows, trying to attract his attention. The congregation received a far sharper lesson than had been expected, for the two welcomers at the church door, who were the equivalent of elders, had refused to let the woman into the service. It's important to realise that they were both kind and caring in general, but had felt that this person didn't fit in their church. The end of that sermon, when the priest intervened to allow the woman in, was more powerful and uncomfortable than planned. Then what about the power of the rich? The voices of the wealthy are still more likely to be heard. They still have more influence, and if required, the wherewithal to hire the most skilled lawyers and take legal action to achieve their desired goals. Think of the numerous legal challenges that have been placed in an attempt to overthrow the presidential election result in the United States. Most of these have now been discredited, but these actions could only have been launched by the very wealthy. I do think it important to emphasise that both rich and poor and all in between are children of God and should be welcomed, respected and cared for as such. James was addressing specific issues, but we mustn't forget that there are and always have been people with wealth and power who have used it in God's service for the common good. There were those who looked after the poor and stood up for justice in biblical times. There were the great Quaker benefactors of Victorian times, who provided workers with houses, schools, medical care, and there are those who do use their wealth to help others today. At the start of today's service, I mentioned that from the beginning of September to the 4th of October, the Church of Scotland, along with other denominations, celebrates creation time. Celebrates, yes, and also reflects on our responsibilities to care for creation, something that may seem even more relevant as we approach the COP26 Climate Change Conference to be held in Glasgow in November, an event that needs the support of our prayers. How does this connect with today's readings? Recent devastating events, wildfires, heat waves, droughts, flooding, are widely believed to be connected with climate change. Both rich and poor have suffered. Rich and poor individuals, and rich and poor nations. No longer is climate change something that can be ignored by the wealthy because it only affects the poor. It is no longer just the inconvenient truth that can be put aside in the pursuit of more wealth. In order to care for all of creation, nations need to step beyond selfish interests, consider the common good, and be prepared to share resources. To paraphrase James, supposing people in a poorer developing country are threatened by rising sea levels, houses being washed away, or by droughts, unable to grow sufficient food, and the wealthy nations say, "Go home, keep warm and dry, and enjoy a good meal," but do nothing to practically help those in need, nothing to accept and reduce their own contribution to climate change. Yes, rich and poor alike have suffered recently, but it's still the poor who suffer more frequently and have less power and influence, fewer resources to solve the problem. We can't sit comfortably with other rich nations and tell the poor to sit at our feet. We need to listen to and respect each other. We need to listen to and respect our planet, our environment. We do have the power, the ability to make the necessary changes if we are willing to do so. As individuals, we need to listen to and to respect each other, to listen to and respect our environment, we all have a role to play. Not everyone can live in a modern, eco-friendly house. Not everyone can walk or cycle everywhere or drive an electric car. But even little changes can make a difference. We can all do something. Let us commit the COP26 conference, the governments of the world, and our own lifestyles to prayer, seeking God's guidance. If we respect God, He certainly has the necessary power. With God, nothing is impossible. Amen.
Let us join together in our prayers for others and ourselves. And this week we are thinking about the value of lives, and over the last few weeks we've seen some terrible scenes on the news of people trying to flee from Afghanistan and also of the tragedies in other places around the world. So let us think about the scenes we have seen ourselves as we join together in prayer. Let us pray. Black lives matter, O God, as do peely wally, white and tawny tanned, dusky brown and apricot and peach. Poor lives matter, as do rich ones, but not any more than the poor ones, or the just about getting by ones, or the seen better days, or still hoping for better to come ones. Creator of all, whose spirit breathes in every living thing, we dare to believe that all lives matter to you, and therefore they must to us as well. And if we pick out some for special attention, it's because they are the ones most likely to be exploited and ignored, treated so often as if they were nothing that they come to believe it themselves. Well, that's not good enough, God, not for you and not for us either. Fill us with creative anger and an energy for change, so that we will not rest until every person on this earth has food, has clothes and shelter, education and safety. And above all, the unshakable assurance that they are loved and worth loving. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, whether we are rich or poor, young or old, healthy or unwell, we offer what we can. We offer our worship, our prayers, our time, our talents, our money, for all things come from you, and of your own do we give to you. Amen. And we draw all our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Let all creation sing before the Lord, and every nation of the earth rejoice. Let all the trees lift a shout of joy, for the Lord is King. Let the deep waters of the sea resound. Let every mountain, every hill sing out. Let all the fields make a joyful sound, for the Lord is King. Mighty river, barren desert, howling wind and storm.
Let us go about our daily lives with renewed intention to respect others and to respect creation. May we use the power and all that God gives us in the service of his kingdom. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us, all who we love, and all God's children everywhere. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. shine upon